So to talk about the third generation BITS clocks, it's helpful, I think, to kind of discuss where this all kind of came from and where this all started. So the first generation of BITS clocks that was brought into the network back in the day, first of all, BITS clock, building integrated timing supply is what the acronym is. Lots of names for these things, right? Clocks, you know, BITS, TSG, timing signal generators, all kind of the same thing. It's the idea, the concept was that all the networks in a central office would be referenced by the same stratum one traceable reference. The stratum one traceable is a highly accurate, very stable reference that if you tie all your digital network elements to that reference, everyone is transmitting and receiving at the same nominal rate. And that's how you achieve network synchronization. That's kind of the goal of this whole thing. So, and in an ideal world, all NEs, all network elements in an office, and in fact, across the country, across the globe, are traceable to stratum one. So it's important that if you've got offices in Manhattan and they're connected via fiber to central offices in New Jersey, everybody's got to be stratum one traceable, because if they aren't, if the New Jersey sites are not stratum one traceable, now your digital bit streams are not operating at the same nominal rate. So that's again kind of the key here. So the first gen BITS clocks were primarily hardware based. Optioning was done via DIP switches. So you'd break out a little your pencil or your pen, and you would throw DIP switches to option B8ZS and framing formats and all that kind of thing. The alarming was pretty basic. You had these discrete alarms, these contact closure alarms. You would get a minor, a major, or a critical. That's what you got. There was a major alarm. Didn't know what it was. You'd dispatch somebody there, and they'd check it out and see what was going on. So this notion of a BITS clock, why do we deploy them? The communications network was evolving from frequency division multiplexing to time division multiplexing. And the systems that you still see in many cases today, when they were evolving, back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, digital cross-connect systems, the old 3-1 DACs, they called them. You would multiplex T1s into T3s, digital carrier systems, digital switching machines, Western Electric's 5ESS, Northern Telecom's DMS switches. These all needed timing because they were digital interfaces to these systems. The transport systems, SONET was everywhere. SONET and SDH, SDH in Europe, SONET here in North America. And SONET, the acronym Synchronous Optical Network. Synchronous is the first word in the acronym. So that's what drove this need to get all the equipment tied to a common reference. And these first gen BITS provided frequency-based timing. So it was a DS1, a framed DS1 signal, or a composite clock, a 64 kilobit digital signal. So the next round, the next generation of BITS clocks, a big quantum leap, if you will, that came forward was they had improved processing capability. So by that, I mean, one big thing was there was an RJ45 connection in the backplane of the shelf usually, and you could plug that into a switch or a router, and you could remotely connect to it via IP. And that was a big thing. Now you could, be in a network operations center somewhere remotely, log in, look at alarms, configure things. You could, do protection switching, you could move active cards around, that kind of thing remotely. That was sort of there was a big sort of a drive in the workplace back then to decentralize the workforce. Rather than have a bunch of folks in every building everywhere, you would, centralize that work in a NOC center. You'd monitor and maintain, provision, configure the system remotely. So that was a big thing. And you also get to this point where you're actually getting alarms that were intelligible. It would tell you what the problem was. Loss of signals, failed cards, these different issues would come in English, so you could see what you're into. They report back typically to a NOC center. So you're not just dealing with minor, major, critical alarms, you've got usable, intelligent information that you can make determinations about. Is this a big deal? Do I need somebody there? You know, what have I got? So also some algorithms were added that enhanced overall system performance. When you lose your Stratum 1 inputs to a bits clock, it goes into holdover. So holdover could be improved using these more sophisticated processor-driven systems, but still primarily kind of a hardware-based system. You know, they required specific plugins to do certain jobs. Which brings us to third-generation sync systems and multiple hats. So the idea about that is that these new systems have got to wear multiple hats. They have to do lots and lots of things. It's no longer a device that just generates T1s and composite clocks. Got to do a lot of things. The way I think about it is that it's got to look forward and provide services for the market and its new service requirements. But it's also got to keep an eye in the rearview mirror, right? So, and why is that? Well, all those systems we just talked about are still out there in significant quantities. You know, these Sonnet systems, digital cross connects, multiplexers, the switches, channel banks, the D4 channel banks, they are being vacated significantly. But what we find is the services that are left behind, the last ones to go, are the most critical. E911, SS7 links. The SS7 links are call processing. That's how calls work through the network. You have to have those links. There's a lot of work to get off those systems because there's signaling transfer points that have got to be upgraded, changed out to make this all kind of work. So there's a lot to this. Point is, a lot of this stuff, while it is being migrated off of, it's going to be out there for a while, and I don't see it going anytime soon. I heard first conversations back in the day in the 90s about SS7 links not being on D4 channel banks anymore. I mean, we do jobs all the time, and we look for the SS7 links to identify them, critical services. When we do our cutovers, you got to pay attention to that stuff. So it's out there, and we'll be gone someday, but it's going to take a while. So that's kind of one group of hats that the next gen bits have to handle. And then, of course, as we said, next generation stuff, you know, transport systems and timing both have been migrating to a packet-based format. So network elements that provide transport, like the old Sonnet systems, now this stuff is packet-based. And some of the transport systems, rather than having to directly wire from a bits clock, you know, wires that bring a DS1 over to the backplane of that system to provide timing, now you can send packet timing, PTP, precision time protocol. It's a packet of data that's got timestamps in it that a device can use to derive time. So those are the drivers for the other hat these systems have to wear. So packet base is required for 5G, GPS backup. I'll talk about that in a minute. Next-gen transport equipment, like I was talking about. Then all these other services, synchronous Ethernet, time of day, 1 PPS, 10 megahertz. These systems have got to be capable of all these different reference signals. So again, we've got to meet the legacy systems, as we said. So one thing that it's got to do, and we do a lot of this here at SyncWorks, is we go in with these time provider 4100s, this third generation bits, and oftentimes we do have to replace these legacy manufacturer discontinued systems, getting more and more difficult to get parts. SyncWorks actually has lots of parts for these legacy systems, but they, again, some of these systems are 30 plus years old, and they're just they're already beyond their end of life, but they're going to be gone someday, and we've got to have something take its place. And this notion of third generation bits is doing that. So meeting the legacy stuff and taking care of the new services required with today's markets. Jim Olson with Microchip is going to do a presentation after me here, but I mentioned this EPRTC and VPRTC in the slide. It stands for Enhanced Primary Reference Time Clock and Virtual primary reference time clock. They kind of go hand in hand. It is a really cool service that addresses GPS vulnerability, which is a really, really big thing. It's really beginning to grab some traction. SyncWorks has been talking about this for some years. People understand that all of our eggs are in this GPS basket, and you know, people's heads nod when we talk about it. But as far as any movement on it, it's been hard to sort of get traction going, but it really is not the case. We've been attending seminars across the country. We had a team over in Barcelona, Spain, and we were in Canada a few weeks ago, and we just were down in Florida at another convention, and this conversation is coming up. People are asking about GPS vulnerability and what happens if there's a major outage with it, what do we do? And those two services, that EPRTC, Extended Primary Reference Time Clock, and virtual, is a very powerful tool. And these 4100s are the heart of that. It's a pretty cool service. So this notion of this third generation bits, it's interesting. And I'll show you this next slide. It's kind of sums the whole thing up, but we think about it oftentimes in an overlay configuration. So if you have one of our most common issues that we get involved with our customers is they'll have a legacy telecom solutions, the old DCD LPR GPS receivers. They're decades old. They're failing, to be expected. And so they have to replace that with a new GPS receiver. This 4100 is a great fit for that. We have a retrofit kit. We can reuse a lot of the conduit infrastructure, install a new system, 4100 GPS antenna, get it locked up. It's stratum 1 traceable. We can take T1s out of it and time your bits clock. So that immediate problem is resolved. But now up on top, this overlay notion on top of this old legacy system, what you've got is this device that can do all the things we just talked about, in addition to just providing a couple of taps to drive your bits clock. That's what the DCD LPRs did it very well for a lot of years, but that's all it did. Antenna, receiver, two T1s out, end of story. This meets that need, but in addition to that, you can use it for, again, 5G deployment. We also have, so you can configure these different ways. A common way that we deploy them oftentimes for a bits replacement is there's an active standby, so you get a one-for-one configuration protection scheme. And you can have, if you're doing, you know, bits, you want the kind of the legacy frequency outputs, composite clock and DS1, you can get 40 outputs with these two units. SyncWorks also has these expansion modules that you see in this picture. We have in both flavors, composite clock and DS1. So if you have a need where you go more than, say, I need 40 outputs, I need 80 outputs, you can just expand, take taps off the 4100s, drive these panels. These panels take two inputs and you get 20 out. So it's a modular solution and you can upgrade your system and roll off your existing legacy bits clock. So there's a few things that I just want to kind of touch on here in my summary slide. But so again, with the third gen bits, it's you get packet services, the Precision Time Protocol, NTP. This PTP is a powerful tool. So it's great for services, like, for example, 5G wireless uses directly PTP traffic flow. So it goes from the 4100 out to the network, and it's how they reference the network. You can also use it just to make your actual timing network more resilient. And you can do that by backing up your GPS. So if you have two sites, site A, site B, both have got 4100s, both are connected to GPS antennas, life is grand, right? You can also feed PTP from one to the other. And what that buys you is if the antenna blows off the roof at site B, rather than go into holdover because I no longer have a reference, a stratum traceable reference, I now have a secondary reference that is PTP traffic flow from site A. So now I'm the beneficiary at site B of the GPS connectivity at site A. If this happens at 4:30 Friday afternoon, it's no longer a crisis to roll people and figure out antenna problems. I've got to sort that out, certainly, but I have Stratum and traceability. My services are good. I'm protected, and my GPS is backed up. That's kind of one cover that you buy from this. Another deployment that we've used with this is sometimes we will take a time provider 4100 and put it into a location that needs timing that doesn't have access to GPS. One reason might be urban canyons, Philadelphia, New York, the big cities. You get into these areas where you may not have satellite visibility. That's a problem. So what you could do is put a 4100 in, you would configure one of the ports as a PTP client, and you could take PTP timing in from another location, use its antenna as your reference. And now again, you've got a timing system that can provide all your timing needs at that location without GPS connectivity. Another thing we bump into with some of our customers is they might be in a big commercial complex, and they just rent or lease a room for their equipment. And they don't have the right to get up onto the roof. And if they do, in some cases, you pay for that. If you want to have conduit go up 13 floors and up onto the roof, it can get pretty pricey. So this is a nice solution. This PTP as a reference has been a great solution for us. So it's a lot of flexibility with the services, lots of backup and resiliency. Jim's going to mention this EPRTC and VPRTC, which is a pretty exciting solution that I think you'll like. And then again, it covers the legacy bit services. Eventually, are we going to roll off all that time division multiplexing stuff, the TDMs, the sonnets? Absolutely. But in the meantime, it does need some kind of a reference and meets all those needs. So if you've got any questions on any of this, we'd be happy to talk anytime. And our contact info is there. And we thank you for your time and your attention.